Welcome to the Truth Wars Podcast with Dr. Olin Stubbs.
Proverbs chapter 6, and we're going to talk about the idea of being surety, or giving yourself in a pledge today, which maybe is an interesting concept, but it's basically the idea of, in modern day terms, like co-signing on a loan. All right, so here would be one definition, is to pledge oneself as a guarantee for another's debts. So let's read this first passage. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. My son, if you put up security for your neighbor and have given your pledge for a stranger. So notice that. It says your neighbor and a stranger. So it's really saying if you've done this for anybody, somebody you don't know at all, that'd be really stupid. But even like a close friend, that can be bad. If you were snared in the words of your mouth, caught in the words of your mouth, then do this, my son, and save yourself. For you have come into the hand of your neighbor. Go, hasten, and plead urgently with your neighbor. Give your eyes no sleep and your eyelids no slumber. Save yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter, like a bird from the hand of the fowler. Okay, so what it's saying here is if you already find yourself in a situation, some of y'all may have been like, wow, I didn't know he was going to teach on this today, and I actually did just co-sign on a loan with somebody yesterday. This proverb, if we were just taking it in a very straightforward way, would say, go get out of it. Do whatever it takes. Okay, and it's this idea of almost like be a bully, be aggressive to try to get out. Now, like with all proverbs, it's more of a general, like with most proverbs, this is more of a general truism rather than an absolute law. There can be appropriate times to co-sign a loan. I'm going to try to give a lot of examples today to make this very practical for us. My dad's a godly man. He's also an accountant, which means he's very wise, maybe even tight sometimes with his money, okay? And so I knew, man, don't get into debt. I went to college when they throw credit card applications at you like crazy. And I was like, not going to get a credit card, not going to get a credit card. But then I graduated, and I started to kind of have to need some credit. And I had no credit record, so I couldn't get anything. I couldn't get a loan. I couldn't do anything like that. So the first time I wanted to get a credit card after college, my dad, I think, actually had to sign on a loan so I could even build credit. I think that was a good, legitimate way. There are times. But the warning here is you should be very slow. You should be very cautious about putting up your name, your reputation, and your property to back up somebody else's debts. It's probably oftentimes sinful. Many times it may not be sinful, but it's stupid. And even at the very best, it's dangerous. You need to be careful. That's the warning that we're given today. So if you're in a bad situation, try to get out. Let me try to give another situation that didn't exactly fit, but it gives this principle of what does it look like to get out. When I first moved into the role that I'm in now with Campus Outreach, it was in about February, and the biggest thing we do every year is this thing called Beach Project, where we take hundreds of students down to the beach. We rent out hotels. But as I was coming in, the ministry was really struggling. It was going down, and we were supposed to have two different beach projects at two different hotels, and I started realizing we're not going to have enough students to really have two beach projects. But we'd signed two contracts, or somebody had signed them before me, and now I was responsible for them. So I went to the one guy and said, there's no way we can keep this contract. And he's like, well, your word's your bond, you signed it. And I was like, I understand, but this is not like I just don't want to do it. It's impossible. We don't have the money. We can't do it. But so basically, I tried to figure out how much money could I pay this guy to get out of the contract and not totally go bankrupt for the ministry. And I had to go back and say, what if I offered you this? And I finally was able to say, if I offered you this much money, would you just let us buy out of the contract and be free? And we did. And so we barely made it for the summer. We didn't lose any money. But I had to be aggressive with this guy and almost beg and plead and offer him incentive. Let me get out of this. And that's kind of the attitude. That's how dangerous this is seen. Now, I got to be honest. I started to study this topic. There's been multiple weeks during this quarter, we've been looking at the Proverbs, that I've started to study this topic. And I'm like, I'm not doing this one. And here's the reason why. Because I'm like, is this really that big of a deal? That's one of the questions I've asked. And is there really that much to say about it? And so I've kind of put it off, but it keeps coming back up, mainly because it's repeated so often in the Proverbs. I mean, this warning is repeated almost six times verbatim. So it is a big deal. And I think part of what this is, what's behind that is, oftentimes Christians, myself included, we can be a little naive about money. We can be a little overly optimistic about money. And think we don't need these warnings. And a lot of times, if there's a warning that's repeatedly in the Bible, and you're kind of thinking, I don't really need that, maybe you need to slow down. Maybe you do need it. Or maybe there's somebody in your life that the Lord wants you to help see it. Okay, so why should we not be quick. And I would say maybe a good way is we want to be hesitant. It should be very rare to ever co-sign on a loan with somebody. I think that's the best way to think about it in modern language. Three reasons, okay? You're going to hurt yourself. You're probably going to hurt the other person. And in some ways, you'll probably really hurt all of society. And I think we'll see that in these texts that we're going to look at today. Okay, so flip over to chapter 11, verse 15. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 15. We need to be very wary to get into bed with people financially. It's not saying you never do it. But it's a little bit like this. Just like if you became very reckless with the way you used your sexuality in life, eventually you're going to hurt yourself, you're going to hurt other people, and you're even going to tear up the social fabric to some degree. And if you get real reckless with the way that you use your money, it'll have similar implications. So look at chapter 11, verse 15. Whoever puts up security for a stranger will surely suffer harm, but he who hates striking hands in pledge is secure. He's basically saying, there ought to be a part of you, if you really want to be carefree, if you really want to be secure and safe with your money, there ought to be a part of you who says, I hate the idea of going and shaking hands with somebody and saying, hey, if this guy can't pay his debts, I'll cover it. You ought to be so hesitant to do that, almost like I hate to do that. I'm not saying you'll never do it, but you hate the idea to do it. Why? Because probably, if this person is in a situation where he needs you to guarantee the loan, he's probably in a desperate situation. It's probably not going to go good. You're probably going to end up carrying a heavy burden for him, and it could mean disaster for you. Flip over to chapter 20, verse 16. And like I said, this theme is repeated often. Chapter 20, verse 16. Take a man's garment when he has put up security for a stranger, and hold it in pledge when he puts up security for foreigners. Now, again, this is not an absolute law saying you could never do this. And if you go read the book of Deuteronomy, in fact, we'll look at one verse there before we're done today. The book of Deuteronomy gave instructions about how to give a loan, the appropriate way and time to give a loan. And part of what it said, I mean, oftentimes when you're giving a loan, it's a richer person giving a loan to a poor person. And if that rich person is giving a loan to the poor person, he was allowed to take collateral. And oftentimes what you would take from a poor person, all that, was their cloak, their coat that they slept in that kept them warm at night. And it was collateral. But what this proverb, chapter 20, verse 16 is saying is, if I'm the guy that's kind of co-signing on the loan, so to speak, with the poor guy saying, hey, if he can't pay his debt, I'll pay it for him. This proverb is kind of almost sarcastically saying, you know what, you might as well go ahead and take my coat too. Does that make sense? Because my coat's on the line. I'm putting myself at risk. And oftentimes it's not just my money. I'm putting my name, I'm putting my reputation on the line. This is about not counting the cost, about being naive and about being short-sighted. Sometimes when you have money, you can become a little reckless with it. You can throw it around too much. Now, some of you are probably already thinking, but doesn't the Bible say a ton about generosity and giving? Yes, we're going to get there, okay? But just stick with the text for now. I had a good friend of mine. He's a college football player. After college, he got way overweight, well over 300 pounds, significantly overweight. And he's trying to lose weight. So he's like, I need a goal. I need something to train for. So he's like, I'm going to run a marathon. And this is a guy that's maybe never run more than 3 miles in his whole life, right? He's like, I'm good. And he had a friend, a younger guy, that was still a college basketball player. And the guy said, you know what? He said, before you sign on the dotted line to go run a marathon, I want you to just go walk 26 miles. And then he stopped. He said, you know what? Forget walk. He said, drive 26 miles. Just drive 26 miles and see how far it is that you're about to sign up to run. Guess what? My big friend, praise the Lord, he has lost some weight. He never ran a marathon, though. You understand the point? What was the basketball player trying to say to the football player? He's like, count the cost, right? Before your mouth writes a check, your body can't cash. And that's what is telling us here. Be careful that your mouth doesn't write a check that your bank doesn't really want to cash. Okay? Be careful. You can hurt yourself. I think Proverbs chapter 22, verse 7 is a fairly famous proverb that says, the borrower is slave to the lender. But if I'm the guy co-signing on the loan, if I'm the guy putting up security, I'm the slave as well. I am intentionally putting myself in a place of slavery based on what somebody else does. Very dangerous. Be very careful. Don't deceive yourself. You'll hurt yourself if you do this, certainly if you do it regularly. But you'll also hurt other people. Let's flip over to chapter 17, Proverbs chapter 17. And start in verse 17. We've looked at this verse before and we've talked about being a good friend. A friend loves at all times and a brother is born for adversity. But then look at verse 18. One who lacks sense gives a pledge and puts up security in the presence of his neighbor. Now here's the interesting thing. In the Hebrew, the word in 17 for friend and the word in 18 for neighbor is the same word. So here's what it's saying. It's saying, listen, there is a type of friend that ought to become so close that you're as close as family, maybe even closer than family. And you're there in the worst of times. You stick with them through thick and thin. But then it's like verse 18 is giving a warning saying, but you know what? There is a limit even to that. There is a limit where you can go too far. There is a time when in the name of love and service, we're trying to help somebody, but you can really become an enabler. Right? You understand that? And listen, maybe this applies the most in the financial realm. Where you keep bailing somebody out, and really what you're doing is you're feeding their addiction. Really what you're doing is you're enabling them and empowering them to keep making sinful, stupid decisions. And the most loving thing to do sometimes is the tough love that says, no, I am going to let you suffer the hard consequences of your sinful and stupid decisions. All right? You got to be that way sometimes. That's true love. It's not just the kind of sappy love. It can ruin friendships. Let me give you two examples here. I was mentioning the beach project thing earlier. When I was a 19-year-old in college and went on my first beach project, part of the idea of beach project is college students go down to the beach, they live there, and they just try to meet as many different people as they can and talk to them about Christ. And so me and one of my roommates, we met these two guys. They were a little older than us. They were late 20s, maybe early 30s, that were kind of homeless, that had come to the beach because they wanted to live and work at the beach. There was a lot of construction going on, get a job, make a bunch of money down there. But they just like, they had enough money to get a bus ticket. They're down there. We met them. We're trying to share Christ with them. And so we're helping them out. We're taking them to lunch, stuff like that. And I'm talking to my parents, telling them about what we're doing, you know, excited about we're sharing Christ with these people and we're helping them out. And then it got to where it's like, hey, we need to get an apartment or a trailer or something. Can y'all help us out with the money? And so we pulled together, and maybe we gave $400. Say, we're going to give you a down payment. And they're like, yeah, it's a loan. We'll pay you back. And I remember talking to my dad. He's like, you never see that money again. I was like, no, Dad, these guys are great. They've become our friends. We're sharing the gospel with them. I think they're close. He's like, you'll never see that money again, and you'll probably never see those people again. I was like, Dad, you don't know, right? You're just kind of old and jaded. You need to trust and pray. Well, he was right. I never saw that money again. And not only that, and listen, at the end of the day, the $400 wasn't that big of a deal. It was a big deal then. In hindsight, it's not that big of a deal. But here was the thing. It did ruin our relationship with those people. Right? Because now when we tried to call them, we tried to go by their work, they didn't want to talk to us anymore. Because they didn't want to talk about the money. They don't talk about anything. So be careful how and when and where you do this. I mean, I have oftentimes told friends, and I'm not the only, there's lots of wiser people out there giving this advice in better ways than me. You know, a lot of times Christians in the business world, they're like, man, I've been working with this non-Christian boss. It's been hard. I'm about to go into business with this Christian guy. And they're like, you know, just this joyful face. And I'm like, get everything in writing. Get everything in writing and sign it in blood. No, he's a godly guy. I was like, I know. He's a good friend of mine. And I'm not making these stories up. And you're a good friend of mine. And I don't want y'all to hate one another one day. So get everything in writing. Because let's just be honest, guys. Money can make most people lose their mind, right? Just like sex. You can have a guy that seems pretty godly, pretty wise, and in the wrong sexual situation, it's like he becomes a total moron. And money can do the same thing. It can ruin people's relationships. I mean, don't raise hands here. But how many people have known seemingly pretty good, godly Christian families that when the parents die and they leave an inheritance, the siblings, all the siblings start fighting over the money? I thought they all loved each other. They were best friends. Not anymore. Now they hate each other. They're in court. I know two guys that were good friends. At one point had worked for the same ministry, went to the same church, elders at the same church. One had more money, one had less money. The one with the less money, he had a side hustle. The one with the more money said, I love your side hustle. I personally benefit from your side hustle. I'd be willing to invest to let that become your main hustle. They went into business together. Side hustle was a great side hustle. It was not a good main hustle. Not only did that business go kaput, their friendship went away, and it got to where then their friends started not liking each other because they brought in lawyers to sue one another. Christians, all of them. Unmitigated disaster for years. Be really wise about how and when you use your money, especially in business deals, co-signing loans, putting up a pledge of security. Not only will you hurt yourself, you'll likely hurt somebody else and even ruin maybe good friendships. The third point is this. It's not just that you hurt yourself. It's not just that you hurt others. In some sense, you hurt society. And what do I mean by that? Where do I get it from? Flip over to chapter 22 and look at verses 26 and 27. Chapter 22, verses 26 and 27. Be not one of those who gives pledges, who put up security for debts. If you have nothing with which to pay, why should your bed be taken from under you? So you get the picture, right? You co-sign the loan. Your friend can't pay, so they come after you. You don't have enough to pay, so they just start taking your property. Literally, it's like they come in your house when you're still sleeping and just take your bed out from under you. It's almost like this aggressive kind of funny picture. But here's the interesting thing. Everybody flip over to Deuteronomy chapter 24 for a second. I want you to see this. Because again, this is not an absolute law that you can never do it. There can be right times to make loans and things like that. And the Old Testament even regulated that. But I want you to see something in Deuteronomy chapter 24. Deuteronomy chapter 24, and let's start in verse 10. When you make your neighbor a loan of any sort, you shall not go into his house to collect his pledge. You shall stand outside, and the man to whom you make the loan shall bring the pledge out to you. Now just stop for a second, and let's just marvel at the wisdom of the Bible. The Bible's wise enough to say, you know what, there are going to be people that are richer, and there are going to be people that are poor. And sometimes a poor person is going to need a loan from a richer person. That's not always bad. And there can be a right way for a rich person to loan money to a poor person. But then there's a power dynamic, right? I'm the rich guy, you're the poor guy. I'm giving you money, you owe me. But what is this passage trying to do? It's trying to preserve the dignity of the weaker person. It's saying, hey, the rich guy can't just barge into your house and take whatever he wants. He can't even barge in and demand what you owe him. He has to stand outside your house, give you some respect, give you some privacy and say, I've come to collect. And then you wait patiently for the poor man to come out and say, okay, you're right, I owe you this. But did you notice what it said in Proverbs chapter 26? It says if this thing goes bad, somebody may just come into your house and start taking your property. Because when money gets sideways, a lot of times it pushes our buttons and makes us want to do stupid, sinful stuff, does it not? I always like to have personal examples. So a lot of times when I'm studying and praying, I'm like, Lord, I need a personal example. And sometimes God brings a good idea to my mind, or at least I think a good idea from something 10 years ago in my life or 20 years ago in somebody else's life. And then every once in a while, like, he makes something happen in my life now. I'm like, I got to quit praying for examples. Okay? You ever had that? So without giving too many details, trying to be a good dad, trying to plan a vacation for the family, cashing in on like all the sky miles and everything I can to get this thing set up. I hate spending my time on this, right? But trying to make it work, money and all that, get this vacation, VRBO, whatever, and like get everything just worked out, spend way too much time on it. And then the guy calls back and says, oh yeah, I gave you the wrong dates. You can't stay here those dates. And I was like, okay, stay in the spirit, just going to need a refund. And then it kind of goes radio silence for a minute. I've already made a deposit, right, hundreds of dollars. And I'm thinking, this guy better give me my refund. And it's this battle in my heart. I'm trusting you, Lord. It's not the end of the world, blah, blah. And there was part of me like, I wonder if I can find his address on VRBO because I'm going to go visit him and I might hurt him. I mean, literally, that thought went through my mind. I was like, what's wrong with me? I'm just being honest. That thought went through my mind. Now listen, don't worry. I got plenty of sin struggles in my life. I don't really think I'm ever going to go hurt somebody like that. But what I'm trying to show you is that quick, within a matter of about, I don't know, let's call it 30 seconds, I went from this is frustrating, God, I want to trust you, why ain't this guy responding, maybe I need to find his address. What's wrong with me? Money can push our buttons, can't it? Now, the guy did respond, got a refund, it's great, and I didn't happen to threaten him. I don't think I would have, praise the Lord, but I didn't get tested too much. But I'm trying to make a point. You hurt yourself, you hurt others. It even tears at the social fabric of society. You might make somebody else do something they would later regret. I have a friend. He's a Christian lawyer, does a lot of business law. He had a Christian businessman that he advised a lot. He said, what I have to tell this guy all the time is, he'll call me and say, can I do this? And I'll say, legally, yes, you can do that. But as a brother in Christ, I'm telling you, you shouldn't do that. Because that's the world we live in. There's a lot of stuff you can get away legally, but it's really not good for the social fabric. And it's not godly. Okay. Now, again, I think what a lot of us are probably sitting here thinking is, man, but isn't there a time, isn't there a way to be generous, to give? Yes. Yes. And listen, we don't want to take away from that at all. Let's flip over just really quick to Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs chapter 28. Just to show you one. There's lots of these too. Okay, but Proverbs chapter 28, and skip down to verse 27. Whoever gives to the poor will not want, but he who hides his eyes will get many a curse. So yeah, there's a time to just give to the poor. Listen, there's a big difference, do you understand, in just giving money to a poor person. I just love you, want to help you. And I'm making a loan, and you owe me back. And maybe there's even a little interest involved. I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm just saying there's a big difference. And don't deceive yourself, there's not. Listen to Derek Kidner. This is so good. He's talking about these passages on not putting up a pledge of security. He says, it does not banish generosity. It is nearer to banishing gambling. A man's giving should be fully voluntary. It's an amount determined by him. For then its effectiveness can be judged and not wrung from him by events outside of his control. Does that make sense? There's a big difference in, hey, I'd like to give you some money right now just to help you because I love you. And, oh crap, I signed on something that I never thought was going to come through and now somebody's coming and demanding that I pay. That's a different type of giving, isn't it? A lot harder to do. My wife and I right now are helping a family member who's struggling financially. I think it's the right thing to do, right? Passage in 1 Timothy, I think, where Paul says, listen, you don't look after your own family, you're worse than an infidel. But the way we're trying to do it is selective. Need a car repair? We'd be happy to pay for that car repair. Don't have to pay us back. Happy to pay for it. Bounce a check. We're going to go put a little money in your bank account. Make sure that didn't happen again. But then it's like, I'd like to get a nicer apartment. I don't have enough money. Can go sign a loan. I'm like, no, we're not doing that. Right? I'm happy to give for these one-time of things. I'm not getting into bed with a long-time commitment. Because I know it probably will go bad. I'll have to pay. I don't think I'll be able to. And then I really will be angry. And it probably will ruin a relationship. Not going to do it. Now, why? Why do Christians have to be warned so much? And why do sometimes, even Christians, I've given some examples that they make really stupid decisions with their money? I think if you dig down to the deepest level, it's pride. And it's two different types of pride. Maybe kind of, you could call them cousins. You know, the first one would be the naive type of pride. Oh, that's never going to happen to me. I know there's stories like that, but that would never happen to me. I'm above that. Not a big deal. Not going to happen to me. It's just naive. I mean, a more manly way to may say it is, it's stupid. It's just saying, I'm above that. Don't be that way. Okay? Money, when you have it, can be alluring. It can also be deceptive. The second type of pride would be this. It's just more of an outright arrogant pride that basically says, you know what? I got so much money, doesn't matter. I'm free from the love of money. That ain't going to touch me. And I got plenty of money. I can give it away recklessly. But here's one of the things I've seen, guys. Sometimes the people that have the most discretionary money are the people that love it the most. And they're most addicted to it. And can get the most bent out of shape when something goes wrong. Shouldn't be that way, but that's just the reality. But either way, there's a pride if we see these warnings over and over again. And I'm confessing. And like I did. Multiple weeks, I'm like, man, this keeps showing up, but I don't think we need that. Keeps showing up, I don't think we need that. And finally I said, maybe it keeps showing up for a reason. Maybe God knows better than me. Maybe I should submit to the text. I had to humble myself even to get here to teach it. Does that make sense? Okay. Now, here's maybe the best way to think about that pride. I think there is something in every Christian's heart that at times is going to want to struggle with being a savior for somebody else. Listen, is there a right way to love people? Is there a right way to serve people? Is there a right way to help people? Is there a right way when I help people address their problems? Yes. But part of wisdom and part of humility is knowing the limits of what you can do. Right? I'm going to get in there. I'm going to minister. I'm going to love. I'm going to pray. I'm going to serve. I might even give some. But at some point, it's like, you know what? You got problems bigger than I can help. And a lot of us don't know where that line is. And I'm not saying that line is always easy to define. But in the money realm, we better be very careful to say, you know what? I want to love you. I want to help you. I want to be a servant. I want to be a sacrificial giver. But I'm not your Savior. And I can't fix all your problems. But I can point you to the one true Savior. Right? I mean, there is a Savior, and it's not me. There is a Savior that can honestly, listen, he doesn't have any naivete. He knows exactly how big the debt was that he was going to have to pay. It's not like he just said, hey, Father, I'll pledge for their security. I don't know how much it's going to cost me, but whatever, I'll pay the debt. He knew exactly what it was going to cost him. He knew in some sense it was going to be an infinite price that he was going to have to pay of wrath. But he said, I'll cover their whole debt for all my people. I'll pay it in blood. I'll pay the price in full. But because he's an infinite being, he could make that pledge. I mean, Jesus Christ is the only one that can be the infinite security. The infinite pledge. I got you. No matter what happens, I'll pay your debts. I'll take care of you. We trust in him. And he died for all our sins of pride, all our sins of stupidity. So, partially, guys, we look at Jesus and we follow him. And there is a right way and time to mimic Jesus. He was sacrificial. He gave. But guys, part of what's so glorious about Jesus is he's not just our example. He's our Savior. And part of what that really practically means is this. There are times when you're like, I'm following Jesus. I'm trying to be like Jesus. And there's sometimes you just sit back and say, I can't be like Jesus anymore. Because he's infinite. He can give and never get tired of giving. He can forgive debts and never get tired of forgiving debts and not get angry and always be sympathetic and always be compassionate. And I'm not that spiritually mature. So do I want to be like him? Yes. Do I need to strive to be like him? Yes. But then there's other times just to sit back and just to worship and just to enjoy and just to humbly admit, I'm not the Savior, but he is the Savior. And I'm so glad there is a Savior. And so sometimes in these situations where somebody might be saying, will you really help me? It's like, you know what? I'm going to help you a little bit. But you really want help, you got to go to a bigger and better Savior. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that your word is practical. I mean, thank you mainly for salvation and that we, if we trust in you, get to go to heaven for eternity when we die, that all our sins are paid. But thank you also that you give us a compass in your word that gets into the nitty gritty of practical things like money. God, we don't want to be stupid Christians. We want to be wise Christians that honor you, that glorify you, that worship you, and we bring pleasure to your heart in everything we do, whether we eat, whether we drink, whether we give money, we do it all to your glory. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of Truth Wars with Dr. Olin Stubbs. If you have any questions for Olin, please email him at olin.stubbs@campusoutreach.org.